between the life we see and the world we dream, there are stories when they are told. Nightmares become imagination. So please.
Thomas, you aren't.
Hello to the guild. Hopefully your losses don't hit you this hard. Welcome to the Dim Light Anxiety Podcast. I am your host, Giggles, and I have been sneezing pretty severely all morning. Damn allergies. It has made recording lots of fun. But I do have some fun news. I officially got my ticket for the horror convention in Denver. This event is still pretty far off, but I like to be prepared. I mean, it's less than a year, so that's better than most times. I have also been putting together, like, my costumes and everything. Pretty awesome and on theme. One of the days, real shocker here, I'm planning on being a creepy doll. You guys should definitely look for me there if you end up going as well. Speaking of creepy dolls, today's episode has a good dose of just that, and not in the way we usually discuss them. Written by a fabulous returning author that you can find on Reddit with the username Sugarfruit33. This is the author that brought us the Crave series of the last season. Sometimes you just need something to help you cope with a traumatic loss. What if that tool morphs into what you lost? Would you embrace it or avoid admitting it existed? And just a heads up, guys, this episode and the next will have some trigger warnings dealing with the loss of a child. I really just don't want you to be blindsided. Submitted for the approval to the guild with Dim Light Anxiety, I call this story The Tale of the Reborn Doll, Part 1. Titled, My Wife Bought a Reborn Doll to Cope with the Death of Our Child. My child died after only a month on this earth. I'm going to spare myself the tears on explaining how, but the tears of my wife are ones I'll never forget. Grief is ugly. It's so fucking ugly. When we lost him, sounded as if my wife was regurgitating fragments of her soul. Her wails could have shattered glass, curdled blood. The cries would turn into screams. Screams at the universe at which ever sick, twisted higher power would let this happen. At herself and me. She'd scream until the skin of her throat shredded to ribbons. I'll be honest. I didn't cry. I don't remember if I even shed a tear. Not because I wasn't upset. I didn't cry because it felt like she was already doing it for me. No pain is more shared than a grieving mother's cry. I wish there was a handbook on grief. Four dummies, if you will. One that could have especially prepared me for the before and the after. Before, you're just waiting. Like you're watching an hourglass of life on its last grain. My heart is pumping while he flatlines. It hits like a wave. I'm going to have to grieve, I thought to myself. Before I could even experience it, I thought about how it was coming right for me. And I knew that in the blink of an eye, life was going to be something I'd have to fight for. Maybe I was already grieving him before he went. Maybe I was prepared. Or I just thought I was. I don't think you could be prepared. Then you reach the after. Not the moment you leave the hospital room or the drive home. It's the moment you open that front door. The air sucked out of the room. And you feel that thorough fucking void. That void in your chest, in your relationship, in your home. This is it. This is my life now. This is real. What hurt even more than that was this new life wasn't so foreign to me. It was one I had nearly a month ago. I felt so guilty for not grieving him, but instead grieving for what he could have been. I grieved for the first birthday and the dozens after it. The first steps, the graduations. I'd even trade a hormonal teen fight with him over this. I couldn't help but grieve the life he could have had instead of the one we lost. My wife felt differently. She missed their skin touching. Humming to him, even dragging herself out of bed at 3 a.m. because he was crying again. We never really discussed it, but we could just tell that we were grieving down two separate paths. Our backs were always turned in bed. She flinched when I touched her. It was as if she was allergic to me, but I understood she needed her space. The funeral was absolute hell on earth. Actually, I think rotting in the fiery pits of hell would feel better than attending an infant's funeral. At least it'd be warm, unlike the icy grip of mourning. I remember walking up to the casket alone, staring down at him, and all I could think was, casket shouldn't be that small. He laid in a box that was small enough to cradle in my arms. When they lowered him into the ground, the cries emerged again. My wife wailed into the clear morning sky. So guttural, it was as if it was happening all over again. But she didn't collapse into my arms. She collapsed to the ground, as if she wanted to join him. Then you open the front door again. And the voids are even deeper. Everything is realer. We packed up our child's nursery and his future into boxes, then thought about whether or not to throw it all out. She said she wanted them in the attic. I said I'd never be able to go up there again if we did. So we just left it all in that room, collecting dust. The door stayed shut at all times, but never locked, just closed. I think it symbolized our grief in a way. We closed the door on that part of our lives, but we weren't ready to lock it away forever. Each day doesn't get easier. It gets farther away from the day it happened. The mornings are worse. You wake up, your eyes creak open. The morning sun is pouring through your window. And then you remember that you're grieving, as if you could forget. Little things begin to tick us off. One would forget to do the dishes and then end up with someone sleeping on the couch or taking a long midnight drive. We tried couples therapy, but we needed so much more therapy than that. It wasn't even about us. It was about him. The wedge was him. I was at my wit's end with how to deal with this, but it appeared that my wife was one step ahead of me when I heard a soft humming from our bedroom after I came home from work. My brows furrowed as I made my way upstairs. The last time I heard her hum this tune was at the hospital, right before the heart rate monitor hummed back. When I pushed the crack door open, I felt like I was dreaming. She was lying in our bed, cradling our baby in her arms, looking down at it like she could see every planet, every star, every galaxy. I remember pinching my thigh as I stared at her, the slight pain stinging. She was so engrossed by it, I could have stood there till the end of time, and she wouldn't have noticed. Huh, honey? She finally looked up.
Oh, hi.
She stretched a smile that had become so foreign. What are you holding?
Oh, this, it's a reborn doll.
I raised a brow at her.
They're realistic dolls for mothers to help me cope.
She nodded rapidly, her smile weakening. It was as if I had disrupted the fantasy just by asking. Oh. I couldn't help but stare at it, and stare at her because of the way she stared at it. As if she was holding her own flesh and blood, not plastic. Has it helped?
It's only been a few hours now, but it's comforting.
It rubbed me the wrong way at first, but if nothing else was working, I was glad that this would.
Do you want to hold him?
Suddenly, I felt myself at a crossroads. I didn't know if I could hold a doll and her, give her the reaction she wanted. I can't look at it like it's my son. But I knew that this wasn't just about me, so I hesitantly walked over and stretched my arms out. A slight chill ran down my spine as its cold skin was placed into my palms. I pulled it close and cradled it, staring down at it, and suddenly I crumbled into tears. It felt too fucking real. I dropped to my knees as it laid in my shaking arms, my scrunched face already wet. I knew it wasn't actually my son, but I realized how much I missed this. Not just the moments we lost. My wife patiently waited as I wailed with my head hung. I let out cries I never could, my voice cracking with each ugly sob. After that day, I noticed things getting better. It didn't fill the voids, but something else stood inside of them for a while, just to keep them dormant. Whenever she had one of those days where standing on her own 2 feet didn't feel worth it, she told him. Hum to it. Sometimes she pretended to breastfeed it. I will admit it still creeped me out to some extent. It was comforting in a way, but I knew it wasn't him. And I think this is when the wedge grew deeper. One day I came home, and as I walked upstairs, my entire body locked as I saw light leaking out of the door. That door. I knew it was locked, but I never expected either of us to ever open it. At least not so soon. I swallowed roughly as I approached it, slowly opening the door, revealed empty boxes and a full nursery. She had set everything up again. I observed the room as I stepped in, and feeling of concern weighed on me. Then I noticed something in the crib. I wrapped my fingers around the railing and leaned in, my brows furrowing as I saw the doll laying.
I didn't hear you come in.
My body jolted as I whipped around. Jesus, sorry, what is this?
What?
What is this?
Our nursery?
Well, yeah, but why is everything unboxed?
Our baby needs a nursery.
We stared at each other with accusations of insanity. Look. I've researched these dolls, and I understand how this helps you. I'll admit, it's helped me a bit too. But this? You know this isn't our...
This isn't our what?
Suddenly I was tongue-tied. I'm just concerned.
I unpacked all of this myself. I'll put it all back when I want to. Okay?
She said slowly and sternly, daggers shooting from her eyes. I could feel a million words crawling up my throat, but the only thing that came out was, okay.
I think I need some alone time with him.
I nodded, looking away as I slipped past her. I was trying to be patient with her, I really was, but I just couldn't meet her at this length she was going. Pretending this was our kid may help her, but it only made me feel worse. That night, not a word was exchanged under those sheets. I was turned towards the window and she was turned towards the baby monitor that she put new batteries in. After making faces out of the moon, I eventually fell asleep. Suddenly, in the middle of the night, I felt myself drift away from my dream and wake up. My eyes slowly creaked open, the dim moonlight coming through the window. The room was silent except for the cries that came through the baby monitor. I sat up and rubbed my eyes, staring at the monitor as staticky cries emitted from the speaker. Liv, wake up. I shook my wife until she groaned out of her slumber. She lifted her sleeping mask and looked at the monitor. My eyes darted toward her, then back at the monitor. She sighed, tossed her mask onto the dresser, and stood up.
I'll handle him. Get some sleep.
I stared at her wide-eyed. My throat knotted as she tiredly walked out of the room. She stepped into the nursery, and I began to hear her over the speaker.
Shush, shush. It's okay. I blinked like a deer in the headlights as I listened to her hum, the crying slowly beginning to stop. My eyes shifted towards the door as she walked back in, grabbed her sleeping mask, and laid back down. She didn't say a word as I just continued to stare. A part of me wanted to go into the nursery, but I just laid there till my eyes dried and ran bloodshot. Before I knew it, the sun was up and I had to go to work. I slowly stood up and stiffly got ready. I tried to convince myself that it was a dream, but I had already awoken from one. When I finished getting dressed, I kissed her as she slept and left the room. As I passed the nursery, I paused for a moment. At first, I considered going in, but instead I pressed my ear against the door. But there was nothing. Just absolute silence. I don't know what I thought I was going to hear. I don't even think I know what I heard last night. I couldn't tell if hearing something now would have made me feel more or less insane. That day at work was grueling. I kept falling asleep at my desk, had a hard time processing what people were even saying to me. It was just one big blur. When I got home, the first thing I wanted to ask my wife was, what the fuck happened last night? But after the incident in the nursery, I feared she'd tell me that the doll crying is normal because it's our son. When I got home, I was ready to fall flat on my face. My wife stood at the sink washing dishes, her head turning as I walked in. Hey, hun.
Hi.
How was your work?
You know, the usual.
Be quiet as you go upstairs. I just put him down, and it wasn't without a fight.
She chuckled. I'll be sure not to wake it. Him. I anxiously cleared my throat as she quickly glared at me, then looked away. At least I was trying to play it wrong. I quietly walked upstairs, minimizing the creaks of each step. As I passed the door, I could feel my breathing and a heartbeat halt to a stop. Something about it just always knocks the wind out of me.
Dinner was so silent, you could hear a pin falling before it even dropped. Chewing and sipping filled the dense quiet.
I was thinking of taking him to Mommy and Me class.
I looked up. My chewing slowed. Is that... Sounds good. I bit my tongue and smiled. I couldn't tell if she was being serious or just wanted to talk.
I also wish you'd spend more time with him. You would avoid the nursery like the plague.
She laughed weakly. I'll make sure to do that.
Thank you.
Okay, guys, seriously, what is up with that doll? I feel like the depression and trauma bonding is so well described in this story. But the buildup is driving me crazy. I just want to see what the doll looks like. I don't know, like, something about it being in the crib and it not being able to quite, like, because it's not real. I just want to touch it to see what they mean by a reborn doll. But that's my whole hang-up. It's just so well described. It makes you feel like you're there. And he's intentionally, like, not paying attention to the doll, and you really, really feel that. That's one thing I really like about this story. The real human connections and personalities that come through. Anyway, hopefully we get a better look when we continue with the story next week. Okay, well, it looks like I'm doing a short business section today, so now for the details. DimLightAnxiety.com is the website. It has all you can want there, including the social media links. I mean, I'm the most active on Facebook, but you can type Dim Light Anxiety into anything and at least get links to the episodes. You guys rock for listening today. It really, really helps me make me feel less anxious to tell such spooky tales, knowing you are here too. If you could also take the time to give the podcast a 5-star review on Apple, Spotify, Google, or anywhere you listen to today's episode. It really helps getting the podcast out there. That way, these writers can get even more recognition for their talents. Speaking of talents, I want to give one final shout out to the reason for this week's nightmares, our fabulous writer you can find on Reddit with the username Sugarfruit33. And finally, the sneak preview of what we are going to get ourselves into next week. Enjoy, if you dare. But the one thing that was itching at the back of my mind was last night. It was crying. How could it be crying? It didn't seem to surprise her either. I tried to make up any logical reasoning for it. Maybe she set an alarm with a baby crying sound? I never really believed in the supernatural. I'd say I'm a skeptical person. But after the constant crying, the footprints, I couldn't make any logic out of it. I'd run in circles to death before it made any actual sense. And my wife seems to know more than she's letting on. But I was scared that one more question would push her out the door. I couldn't lose her, too. I declare this meeting of the Guild with Dim Light Anxiety closed. Grab that comforting hug if you need it tonight. With consent, of course. Until next week. Creep it real. This podcast does not condone any physical harm on yourself or others. These are fictional stories intended only for entertainment.